Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about how seniors are abused, what's being done, what's not being done. I'm going to rant a little this morning, folks, and I want you to listen to the rant. We'll get to all the other neat stuff about assets and aging and all that stuff in a little bit, but I want you to pay attention the next 10 minutes. I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and I've been seeing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. There's nobody that cares about lost, lonely, frail seniors, period. I don't care that there's organizations out there that claim to and groups claim to, and everybody makes money off the deal, and some organizations make $1 million a year suing nursing homes, and other people that claim to have nonprofits run around nursing homes in lab coats and stethoscopes pretending to be doctors so they can anyhow, there's all kinds of people out there running all kinds of organizations that claim to care about seniors. But I'm going to tell you about what's going on that nobody cares about and nobody's doing anything about. And yesterday was like the last straw. And we're going to talk about it, and then I'll get to all the stuff about how you contact me and if you even care, because I am just tired of telling this same story, and nobody gets upset by it. In fact, I was talking to a good friend of mine last night, an elder law attorney here in town who's been on this show many times. He's been to my workshops, and another elder law attorney that I have great respect for. And we hear these stories all day long, and we try to deal with them all day long. And nobody cares. Literally, nobody cares. Hospitals don't care. Sheriff's Department doesn't care. APS doesn't care. Nobody cares. I'm going to give you a story. This is a true story. I'm not going to give you names, but it's based on stuff that happened with this week. And I'd like to tell you it's an isolated story, and I'd like to tell you, and what I'd like to do is use some words I can't use, so imagine me using them. Because that's how upset, nobody, you know, idiot reporters at the newspaper write stuff about seniors that they don't know anything about. Nobody on TV or radio, except me, follows any of this stuff. But there are seniors out there, and there are frail seniors, and there are families or seniors who are suffering like you can't believe. And there is nobody that cares. We care about the homeless. We care about immigrants. We care about all that stuff. We do not care about our frail elderly, period. And I'm going to tell you two stories. I just added one. I have somebody that's taking care of somebody who's a frail elderly person who needs to be in a nursing home. Do you think any nursing homes will take this person? They're too much trouble. They require a Hoyer lift. The person languishes in a place that is not adequate because they can't get in a nursing home, because nursing homes don't want to take exceptional patients. Why? Because they get sued all the time. And you know who they get sued by primarily? I got to be careful here. But organizations that claim to be helping seniors that are really referral agencies for attorneys who sue nursing homes and caregivers and assisted living and all that kind of stuff. So nursing homes are afraid to take anybody out of the ordinary because they don't want to get sued. So where do these people go? This person has been to nursing home after nursing home after nursing home, and they can pay. I'm going to get exercised here, and I got to watch my clipping here, because I'm going to move the mic away from me a little bit. Otherwise, this is going to start. It's just like it's getting, you know, worse and worse and worse and worse. Hospitals discharge people back to home who can't stay home. Hospitals discharge people to nursing homes, and then the nursing homes go, well, this person's too hard to take care of, and they transfer them back to home to a frail spouse or family members that can't take care of them. They're just dumped, folks. And there are some hospitals that are worse at this than others. Just this week, hospital person goes to the hospital in an ambulance because they have a fever. Don't know what the fever's coming from. They take them to the emergency room at the hospital. The hospital treats them, does whatever they do, send them to a nursing home, and the nursing home then kicks them out and sends them back home. Just sends them back home because this person is too tough for them to take care of. The person has dementia. The person goes home, and you're going to have to deal with some uncomfortable talk, but proceeds to walk around the house urinating and most every place in the house because they don't know where the bathroom is. They're abusive toward their spouse. They won't let the spouse change their urine-soaked clothes. So they call the ambulance. The ambulance says, well, there's no medical issue here, so we're not going to take this person to the hospital. Gives them the name to the sheriff's department. 4 hours later, the sheriff's department shows up and says, well, we don't see any bruises on the spouse, so therefore there's nothing we can do. Call Adult Protective Services. If you call Adult Protective Services, nothing's going to happen. I'd like to tell you this is all an isolated case, but when I see what I see, and when I see what elder law attorneys see all the time, there isn't anybody else. You can go try to get an emergency conservatorship. That could take days or weeks to do. And then you're forcing the family into a situation that's not good. They may wind up blaming the family. The police would not 5150 this person, even though they were abusive toward their spouse. Well, there's no bruises. We don't see any bruises, so there's nothing we can do. And so this person now is living with an abusive spouse with no hope. And I'd like to tell you that this is an occasional thing, but it's not. Talk to people who do what I do, and they will tell you they see it all the time. When spouses are trying to take care of a demented spouse, or children are trying to take care of it, and nobody will help them. Nursing home doors are closed. Memory care will take them at $10,000 a month, and nobody pays for that. And the family doesn't have that. In this case, the family doesn't have that kind of money. It's over and over and over again. I had somebody in my office yesterday whose mother went to a nursing home. The nursing home says, well, they're not improving anymore, so we're going to kick them off of Medicare. And I said, are they aware of a federal court case that says they can't do that? And the family said, what do you mean, federal court? It's called Jimmo v. Sebelius. They can't kick her out. Well, but they said she's not improving. There's a court case that says they don't have to be improving. They simply need to be in a nursing home. And they're entitled to full care. And they went back and talked to the nursing home, and the nursing home is still to this minute trying to throw them out, trying to throw their mother out. And of course, the two children are so petrified and immobile that they don't know what to do. And it's going on over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And there's no one screaming into the darkness. I mean, I'm sorry, people are just screaming into the darkness. There's nobody listening. There's not a legislator in California that gives a rip about any of this, folks. They claim they do, and they'll sit up at meetings and say, oh yeah, we're going to do this. Try to get one of them to handle the Veterans Administration when the VA has denied somebody benefits for a year, and you go to the congressman's office or local congressman here, and their staff people all go, well, there's nothing we can do. The VA says you didn't send the stuff. When we have the three facts and a UPS signature that says the VA did get it, and the congressman's office goes, well, you know, we got better things to do. We got people that actually vote. we got people who want to give us money. We don't have time for old people. We don't have time. We don't have time to deal with what's happening to nursing homes. Nursing homes closing because of lawsuits. Nursing homes closing because of poor state oversight. I wish in the time I had, I could give you a broader picture of what's going on. I talked to a nursing home the other day I have great respect for, and they said, well, we can't take that person. They're outside our parameters, and we can't deal with somebody that has extra needs because we don't have the equipment, and then the state comes in and inspects us and wants to know what we're doing, and then we have to buy more equipment, and then we wind up getting sued when we don't have, and so we don't take people that are outside. And I understand that. What we have forgotten in all of this, folks, is that the frail elderly are just that. They are frail. They can't take care of themselves. And there are a bunch of people who profit from this to the extent of millions of dollars. There are politicians who are trying to ride the back of the frail elderly into higher office by forming organizations that pretend to really care, which are really going to deny veterans VA benefits. But I just wish I could name names, and I can't. But believe me when I say, in California, this is a hard time to be a frail elderly or the family of a frail elderly, because finding the truth is not good. I have some clients that went to an attorney up in a city north of here, and they chose not to use me, which is fine, and they went up there, and everything the attorney told them about Medi-Cal was not true, and as a result, they've lost a year of eligibility for Medi-Cal because what they were told wasn't true, because the person had no idea how Medi-Cal really worked. I had another client come in this week who found out that she doesn't own the house. The house was transferred to her husband years ago, and she didn't know about it. Nobody told her about it. She doesn't speak English very well, and she just found out she doesn't own her house. And nobody cares about that. There's no place I can send her for redress. And I can go on and on and on. And I have to calm down a little bit, or I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Actually, there's lots of things I'd like to say that I shouldn't say. If you think there's not an all-out attack by people in this state on seniors who claim to like seniors for either political end or monetary end, you're not paying attention. You read stuff in the paper and you think you know why a nursing home closed, and I'm telling you, you have no idea why a nursing home closed. You wonder why you can't get somebody admitted into a nursing home pending Medi-Cal. I can tell you why. Because in a lot of counties, knock on wood, not in Sacramento County, we have a great long-term care Medi-Cal division that works in Sacramento County. They're phenomenal. They actually know what they're doing. They have a great supervisor. They're all people who want to get this done and want to help people. But in most counties in California, the Department of Healthcare Services could care less about the plight of seniors. They don't care if counties ignore rules. They don't care if counties make up their own stuff. They don't care. And the courts in California are just as bad. There's a section of the probate code called Probate Code Section 3101, the 3100 section of the probate code, which allows judges to allow the well spouse at home to keep more money. Some counties will do it. In other counties, the judges go, no, we're not going to do that. Wait a minute. It's state law. It's probate code. Can we get some uniformity here and understand that we're trying to help families? But there are some counties that the attorneys that I know that do 3101, 3100 hearings won't even go to because the judge is there. No, we're not going to do it. Well, wait a minute. There's a probate code here that says you can do that. I know, but we don't believe in it, so we're not going to do it. If you think I'm making this up, I'm not. I can tell you right now that in Orange County, the judges in Orange County won't help families. There are counties around Sacramento where they won't help families. They won't even entertain the petition. And yet, it's a probate code that would change the life of families. And yet, attorneys that I know who are willing to use it, willing to go to court, willing to help families, can't, because even the courts don't understand it. There is, I think, an unwitting conspiracy among a whole group of people who just don't care. Hey, they're old people. They're going to die. Just, you know, we got other things to do. We got tunnels to build. We got bullet trains to build. We got other things. We're going to save the planet. We're going to do all this other stuff because that's what people elect us to do. We got, you know, all this other stuff to deal with. And, you know, old people are just going to die. So, you know, they don't vote anyhow. So we don't care. Yes, 30 years of doing this has tainted me, and 30 years of this really leads me to believe that what I just said is, for the most part, true. I'm telling you, boys and girls and listeners, if you don't wake up and you don't become educated and you don't become active, this is going to get worse and worse and worse, because this generation has been forgotten. You know, the greatest generation that everybody talked about? Well, no, they're now the forgotten generation. Because when they need true help, do you know we can't, there are no psych hospitals in Sacramento. There's one. So if you have an Alzheimer's patient, how many of you have gotten the phone calls, the silver alerts? Your phone also said, this is the sheriff's department. We're looking for an 84-year-old man named Phil who has wandered away from home. How many of you have gotten those? And everybody goes, oh, I hope they find Phil. You know, I can guarantee you Phil's family has been trying to get Phil help for years, and nobody cares. The board of supervisors doesn't care. Politicians don't care. They'll send out the silver alert that Phil walked out of the house, and hopefully we find Phil before he dies of exposure. Maybe even they put a helicopter up sometimes. But I'll guarantee you that family has been fighting for years to try to get Phil some kind of emotional, psychological, or care help, to no avail. And you can go to all the meetings of all the associations and whatever, and they're going to feed you all this baloney about, oh, we can help, and we can help, and we can help. And I'm telling you that I have literally talked to hundreds and thousands of families over the year who are, for this week, who are desperate to get help, and there's no place to turn. No place for that spouse to get help. No place where we can make sure that that person with dementia, who's literally walking around the house naked, urinating all over the house, and then going outside and doing it in front of the neighbors, that person can't get any help to get her husband placed, including the sheriff that comes to the house and says, there's nothing we can do. We don't do 5150s anymore. Have a nice day. Even had friends of the family calling trying to get help, and nobody helps. I probably am done talking about this now. There's more I'd like to say, but I think you got the point. If you don't educate yourself and you don't begin to get proactive about this, you're just going to be another one of the victims. Some of you are already shaking your heads going, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. We can't, dad is, you know, is goofy. He's got dementia or whatever, and we can't get any help. Well, in some cases, I recently had a case in which the person doesn't know anything and is in their mid-90s. The family took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, this seems okay to me. I'm going to renew their license and just send them back to the family that now has to worry about their 95-year-old parent driving a car around, and they don't know where they're going. The doctor just didn't want to get involved. Oh, you know, I can't take Fred's driver's license away from him. That if you could talk to me or elder law attorneys that I know or people that do this, the psychologists who do work in this field, they will tell you that as a general rule, there just aren't any institutions that care. Politicians don't care. Most organizations are only in it for themselves. I've become a very big cynic about nonprofits. Nonprofits pay themselves a lot of salaries. I know one nonprofit pays themselves over $1 million in salary. More than a third of what they take in, they pay in salary. And who's going to help seniors? Who's going to begin to make a difference? Are you? Are you going to educate yourself? You don't come to my workshop. By the way, this Tuesday only, I'm going to be doing 3 workshops in my office, and I'm going to tell you the 3 things you need to know to make sure you're protected. It's free, but you got to call to get to my address. They're going to be at 10:30, 12, and 1:30 in my office on Watt Avenue. In fact, I'll tell you where it's going to be. It's going to be at 3550 Watt Avenue. That's this coming Tuesday, the 17th only. Tuesday, the 17th only. My office, 3550 Watt, number 140, first come, first serve, 10:30, noon, and 1:30. You can also call my office if you want more information, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. If you're not forewarned and forearmed, you're going to become another victim. The nursing home that threw the person out of the nursing home had no right to do so, but the spouse at home didn't know that, so just came and picked him up. The nursing home didn't care. He was a little bit of a problem. We got a problem. We got to send him home. Deal with it. You got doctors on staff. Every nursing home has a psychologist. Deal with it. But they're afraid of getting sued. And not without cause. So if you believe half of what I said, then you better believe it could happen to you and to your family. And if you're not prepared, you're just going to become another victim. And no one will remember you, and no one will care. Hospitals don't care. Ambulances don't care. Doctors don't care. Some do, not all. Nursing homes, boarding cares, assisted livings, it's all about the bottom line. It's all about money. It's all about heads and beds. You have to be forewarned. You have to be armed with the right information. You have to know they can't throw you out. You have to know what your rights are. You have to know how to get somebody into a nursing home. You have to know how the system works, or you're just going to get steamrolled. And you'll just become another victim of the system and those organizations that really don't care. Despite the fact that they're nonprofits and they have a lot of platitudes and they pretend to care. 800-999-8007. Remember, I didn't get the disclaimers out in this half hour, so let me do that now. Remember, I'm not an attorney, don't practice law, don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. If you want another opinion, you should go get one. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, allows me to prepare legal documents. There, I said it. That said, take a minute, call me. This Tuesday only, the 17th, at my office, 3550 Watt, number 140, at 10:30, 12, and 1:30, I'll be doing a one-hour workshop on the 3 things you need to know to protect everything you have. If it's important to you, then you'll come. If it's not important to you, then don't come. But what you learn, I'll guarantee you, will make a difference in the life of some family member. 800-999-8007. You can call me and let me know which one you want to come to, or first come, first serve at 10:30, 12, and 1:30 this Tuesday, October the 17th at my office, 3550 Watt Avenue, number 140. We're going to take a little break here, and then I'm going to come back and talk about veterans' benefits, which I think is an important subject. And again, the things you think you know about veterans' benefits and the things you don't know about veterans' benefits. In the meantime, give me a call. Get to one of the workshops on Tuesday, again, 10:30, 12, and 1:30, and you'll learn the three things that will help you protect everything. I'll see you in just a minute. Call during the break, 800-999-8007. I'll be back here in just a second, right here on Assets and Aging. And thanks for letting me talk. We'll see you in a minute, right here, Assets and Aging. Okay, welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I've had a chance to take a deep breath. Have a drink of water. I'm going to have another one right now. And slow down my brain. But what we talked about in the last half hour has been on my mind all week, and I've been talking to some elder law attorneys and other advocates that I have great respect for. And they're observing the same thing. That it is just becoming harder and harder and harder to find the help and care we need for the most frail among us. There's some other political, and it's got nothing to do with the current president or anything else. This has been a growing trend for years. Our focus is no longer on the frail elderly. It's no longer on our parents. It's no longer, they're just seen as the greedy generation now, and the focus is on other places. And most of any of you who have paid attention knows where the focus is and where the money goes. But the money certainly doesn't go. In fact, there's a growing movement to stop Medi-Cal, to help helping to pay for nursing homes and things like that, so that it's no longer a budgetary item. And just say, hey, people will just have to pay for their own long-term care. Good luck. There are many organizations around the country who are working on that. There are organizations who don't want you. In fact, they will threaten lawsuits that don't want you. There's a politician here in California that's running for higher office that does not want you to be able to get information on VA benefits, does not want you to get VA benefits. I mean, I could just read you so much stuff from so many people, folks, but then they'd be chasing me all around the block. And I'm too old. So let's talk about VA benefits. Glad, welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Again, just a reminder, if you're concerned about all this kind of stuff, if you'd like to learn the three things that will help you make a difference in protecting everything you've worked a lifetime for, I'm going to be doing three little mini seminars this coming Tuesday, the 17th of October, at 10:30, 12, and 1:30. They'll last an hour each. Maybe less. They're very limited in size because the room I'm going to use only holds 12 people. They're going to be at my office, again, at 3550 Watt, number 140. It's going to be first come, first serve. So once 12 people show up, anybody else will have to either wait for the next one or go home. But again, I'm doing three of them at 10:30, 12, and 1:30. If you're serious about this, if you're serious about making sure that your family is taken care of, that you know how to fight the good fight, and that you're prepared, and I'm telling you right now, most of you are not prepared for what's coming. You think you are because you think you have a will, or you think you have a trust, and that's going to do it. But you have an entire industry and political juggernaut laid against you that has no such plans for that to happen. Okay, let's talk about VA benefits a little bit. Again, Bob Scrivano, remember, not an attorney, don't practice law, not an accredited VA agent. Everything we're talking about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. If you want that advice, call somebody that you think knows what they're doing. By the way, When I started doing this program 18 years ago, there were five people in Sacramento that knew what they were doing. There are still only five people in Sacramento who know what they're doing, but there's now 50 people doing what I do. And they don't have a clue. You cannot believe this. A couple of us share information, a couple elder law attorneys and myself share information, and every now and then we'll run across a new name and we'll go to the other people and say, have you heard of this person? And everybody goes, no, who's this? Well, they're doing what we do. Where did they come from? I don't know. Don't go to people that have been doing this for 5 minutes, folks. I know everybody in Northern California that's good at this. If you don't want to work with me, call me. I'll give you another name. And you can go call them, and at least it'll be somebody that actually cares about this stuff and has been doing it. Yeah, it's how I make my living, but I deeply care about this stuff. It matters to me. It matters to the people I know and who do what they do because they love it. One of the attorneys I work with that I like a lot, I met him when he was a young attorney. I actually got him into elder law, and he said, I don't really want to do that. Now he wouldn't leave it on a bet because he really cares about the difference he makes in the lives of the frail elderly and their families. So let's talk about VA benefits. There are basically two kinds, and you need to listen to this because this is an area where there's a huge amount of scam. And as I said, there are politicians and there are nonprofits that actually want to they don't want you getting VA benefits. I can read you stuff right now and name organizations and politicians who have said so. There are two kinds of basic VA benefits, service-connected and non-service-connected. Plus, the other one, your pension, which is, you know, you put in your 20 years, you get your pension, and you get to use the BX and, you know, that kind of stuff. But there are two really other basic kinds of help. Service-connected disability that provides extra help. You don't have to have been retired to get service-connected disability. And a non-service-connected. Service-connected disabilities is something happened to you. You were disabled somehow as a result of you being in the military. You got your arm blown off by an IED. You have a service-connected disability. You lost your hearing during World War II or Korea because you were next to a 105 that blasted 24 hours a day, and back then nobody used earplugs. And so you've lost your hearing. One of my dearest friends was shot by a sniper and blew up his knee. He has a service-connected disability. Those are common, service-connected disability. There are other service-connected disabilities that people don't know a lot about. One is above-ground radiation. If you were in the military and you were exposed to the above-ground nuclear tests, you may be eligible for, as they say in the commercials, financial compensation. It makes a huge difference. The other service-connected disability that is a real common, but people just don't get it, is Agent Orange. If you were in Vietnam, if you were in the demilitarized zone in Korea right after the war, by the way, if you have ALS and you are in the military, you are considered to have a service-connected disability. I bet you didn't know that. If you have ALS and you were in the military, you are considered to have a service-connected disability due to chemicals. But if you were in Vietnam, then it is a presumptive assumption that you were contaminated with Agent Orange. Well, Bob, all I did, I was transiting. I got off the airplane. I walked over to the BX, bought some cigarettes and a beer, and then they refueled the airplane, and I got back on it, and I went to Thailand. You were in Vietnam. And by the way, there were B-52 bases in Thailand that it had Agent Orange exposure, and you were exposed there too. I was? Yes, you were. If you were in the Greywater Navy, Greywater Navy guys will know what I'm talking about in Vietnam. You were exposed to Agent Orange. It's also called 24D. It was a defoliant used by farmers and all kinds of people. They used it in Vietnam. And there are now 20-some diseases, last time I looked, associated with Agent Orange, such diseases as type 2 diabetes, Parkinson's, ischemic heart disease, prostate cancer. There's a whole list of diseases that are now presumptively caused by exposure to Agent Orange. You are entitled to a service-connected disability. You have to have been in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. There are dates for that. If you were in country, there are certain dates, but generally it's from like 1963 to 1975 or something like that. I don't have the dates in front of me. It's a long time. A lot of vets were exposed to Agent Orange. Well, Bob, I worked on the base and typing, and you know I wasn't out on the front. You're still exposed to Agent Orange. If you were in country, it is a presumption you were exposed to Agent Orange. The benefit can be huge. It can be in the thousands and thousands of dollars a month tax-free. It makes a huge difference in people's lives. Did you also know that if you have a service-connected disability, your spouse may be eligible for some of that after you die, and your children in California can get tuition money to go to a California state school? Did you know that? The benefits are huge. Most vets are being told you have to have been retired, you have to have been shot, you have to have carried a rifle, you have to have been in combat. Yeah, no. No, now, my friend was shot last night. Yeah, okay, but that's not the only requirement, that you get shot by a sniper. The other ones I gave are also service-connected disabilities related to above-ground radiation, related to Agent Orange, related to ALS, related to all kinds of things. And again, you're going to hear all kinds of other information. You're going to hear all kinds of this. You're going to hear you need to buy a product. You're going to hear there's nothing you can do. You're going to hear that... you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. You're going to hear you have to be retired military. No, no, and no. Now, the basic requirements to get aid and attendance, that's service-connected. I got to switch gears here. So that's service-connected. So Agent Orange, ALS if you're in the military, those kinds of things are huge. And if you were in Vietnam, that means you were exposed to Agent Orange. And if you have any one of the 20-some diseases on the list, then you are eligible for service-connected disability. Let's talk about the other big VA benefit that's really misunderstood, and that's non-service-connected, sometimes called the enhanced pension, usually called aid and attendance. Everybody and his uncle is out doing aid and attendance now. Every time I turn around, there's somebody else doing aid and attendance. I've been doing this 25 years, folks. I know everybody in California who knows what they're doing when it comes to aid and attendance. Don't go to people that you haven't received a recommendation from here. There are lots of people who claim to do this. There are people who are placement agents. Placement agents, what's that? Well, they'll help you find an assisted living, but what they don't tell you is that the first 2 months of rent they make as a commission. Sometimes only 1 month of rent. So they're telling you they're not charging you anything, but that $5,000 you paid for the assisted living facility for the first month, they got. Every insurance agency on the planet is now doing VA. Home care agencies are now doing VA. Aid and attendance. Everybody's doing aid and attendance. Here's the rules for aid in attendance. Listen to them. They're simple. I'm going to give you the rules. And if you come to one of my workshops on Tuesday at 10:30, 12, or 1:30, I'm going to be talking about this briefly. By the way, if you do come, bring paper and pencil because you'll want to take notes. And bring a friend. Tell somebody else. Tell somebody that doesn't listen to this show they should be at my office on Tuesday, the 17th of October at either 10:30, 12, or 1:30 at 3550 Watt Avenue, number 140, suite number 140. I'm going to be talking about the three things you need to know to protect everything you have if you need long-term care. It'll be simple, fast, and you'll be informed. And then you'll be able to protect everything. Where was I? Okay, aid in attendance. Here's the rules. Rule number one, you have to have been in the military for 90 consecutive days active duty. There's a lot of guys. That's a pretty simple one. 90 days continuous active duty, right? Pretty simple. 90 days continuous active duty. Okay. The second thing is one of those 90 days has to have been during a time of war. Notice I didn't say you had to be at the war. Just one of the 90 days had to be during a period of war. That's pretty simple. So if you were a cook in Kansas while the Vietnam War was going on, you were one of your days was during. If you were, you know, a DI in Omaha during World War II, and you never were in, you're still meet the requirement. So 90 days continuous active duty, one day during a time of war, one of the days during a time of war, and an other than dishonorable discharge. That's it. That's the basic requirements. That's it. There's no, you don't have to have served. No, you don't have to be retired. No, you don't. Now, how much is the benefit? The benefit can be over $2,000 a month for a veteran and his wife. And by the way, the surviving spouse of a veteran is also entitled to this benefit at a lower amount, but still entitled. And yes, entitled. And there's a politician and there's a group in California trying to tell everybody it's not an entitlement. It's a, well, wait a minute. If you meet the requirements, you're entitled to it. I don't know what to call that. If you meet the requirements, you're entitled to it. If the bank is running the thing where if you deposit $5,000, you get a toaster. If you put in the $5,000, you're entitled to the toaster. If you meet the requirements for aid in attendance, you're entitled to the benefit. Period. End of conversation. Those are the requirements. Plus one other requirement. You have to be spending money on your care. And you have to, this is a simple rule. It's not exact, it's simple. You have to be spending as much on care as you make an income. So let me give you an example. If you and your wife make $3,000 a month, and the veteran has dementia, and so during the day we have to hire caregivers for the vet. Remember, their income was $3,000 in my example. If they're paying $3,000 a month for a caregiver, they meet the requirement, and the vet gets the veteran's benefit tax-free. So you have to be spending as much on care as you're taking in an income. So let's say you're making $3,000 a month and you go to assisted living and it's $4,000 a month. You have met the requirement, and the veteran and his spouse, if they're living there together, are going to get over $2,000 a month tax-free. So they have the money to pay for assisted living plus some left over. Aid in attendance changes lives. It changes lives. Mom is living at home. She has $2,500 a month of income coming in. Dad, her husband, the veteran, died. Mom needs to go to a boarding care. The boarding care is $3,500 a month. Mom doesn't have $3,500. She's got $2,500 and a little savings account. Well, she applies for VA benefits. She gets a little over $1,150 a month. Now, with her income in the VA benefit, she's got over $3,500 a month. She can now afford to be in the boarding care, be taken care of, be warm and safe, and then the children or whoever, if they have the right stuff, can deal with her house, can sell it, can rent it, and use that to help supplement her care. It's a life-changing benefit. You can't do it in advance. You have to be so you can't do it now. You can't say, well, I'll apply for the benefit now, and 10 years from now, if I need the benefit, it'll be there. Wait, no, it doesn't work that way. The other tragedy of this, and this is another place where government agencies don't care, and the VA really doesn't care. It is not unusual for it to take up to a year to get this benefit. It's obscene. You should be able to walk into any VA office with your doctor's records, hand them the form, hand them your DD-214, and be approved. It only takes 45 days to get approved for Medi-Cal if you're in a nursing home. In order to get this VA benefit, it could take a year. And if the veteran dies, the claim ends. Isn't that cool? So the dirty little secret is the VA is waiting for everybody to die. All these old guys from Vietnam and Korea and World War II, there's still some of those guys around. But it's a great benefit. And a lot of you are entitled to it, but you've been told you can't get it. I can't tell you how many people walk into my office and have been told, well, I can't get it, I'm not disabled. I wasn't in combat. Well, that's got nothing to do with anything. Remember the rules. 90 days continuous active duty, one day of which was during a time of war, other than dishonorable discharge, and you need to be receiving some kind of medical care or care at home or in assisted living or in a boarding care. It's as simple as that. And by the way, in certain cases, under certain situations, a family member can be the caregiver and get paid. It's a wonderful benefit. It's real. But there's an entire industry that doesn't want you to know about it. They really don't. I wish I could read you stuff right now, folks, that I have articles, I have press releases, I have stuff from organizations doing everything they can to make sure that you don't get this information. It's all over the place. When I started this show earlier, when I started into my initial rant, it was about there's very few people that really care about the frail elderly, and government agencies are not one of them. We can't get that. Look at what's going on with the VA. They can't get help for guys with PTSD. They can't get help for homeless vets. We can't get this benefit because the VA gives out incorrect information on aid and attendance. How do I know? Because I've called them and asked them just to check. Because vets say, I went to the VA office at one of the bases and they told me I couldn't get it because I had, you know, too much income or I had whatever. And it's like, no. It's a wonderful benefit. There is help available. It's harder and harder to find. It's harder and harder to get. It's harder and harder to find agencies, government agencies, that really give a rip about the frail elderly. It's really becoming impossible. I see it every day. My friends who are elder law attorneys see it every day. The incompetence of it all. But there's help available. This Wednesday, this Tuesday, the 17th of October, at my office at 10:30, 12, and 1:30, I'll be doing a workshop. They'll all be the same, so you don't have to come to all three. They'll last about an hour. gives me a half an hour break in between on the three things everybody needs to do to protect what they have. Everything they need to know to be armed. It's limited to 12 people per workshop because there's only 12 seats in the office, in the conference room. It's first come, first serve. If it's important to you, you'll be there. If you want more information, you can call my office at 800-999-8007, but it won't be, there'll be no reservations. It'll be first come, first serve. When the first one fills up with 12 people, then we'll wait for the next one and so on. But at 10:30, 12, and 1:30, this coming Tuesday, the 17th of October, at my office, 3550 Watt Avenue, suite number 140. You're going to have to become forearmed and forewarned, because the industry is not going to help you. The industry is stacked against the frail elderly. I've called it for a long time the political industrial long-term care complex, and it really does exist. I'm here to help. If you're ready to be helped, if you figure out that it's time to stop sitting on the fence, then give me a call. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Listen to my podcasts and my radio shows. Sign up for my newsletter. Get involved. Get to my office for an appointment. But do something soon so that you and your family aren't victims. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll see you here again next week. Make sure you listen to my Wednesday podcast, read my blog, go to my website, assetsandaging.com. You all have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.